in with you this morning. Would you take a moment and turn it to vibrate or turn it off? We'd appreciate your cooperation. Take your songbook, turn to page number 125. Let's stand together as we sing "He Keeps Me Singing," 125. Sign up if you plan on going. This evening at 6 o'clock, churchwide prayer.
It looks like I'll be off on Friday.
Okay, no problem. Churchwide prayer at 6, also children's and teen choir at 6 o'clock, and then our evening service tonight at 6:30. The Wednesday evening Discovery Club and the Youth Zone at 6:30, and our midweek prayer service at 7 o'clock. On Thursday evening, there'll be Man's Soul Winning Visitation at 6:45 p.m. It's in the bulletin, Brother Scott. Yeah, okay. Yep, all right. Soldiers of the Cross Youth Rally. I guess I can't read either because I didn't look for it. Friday the 20th, the bus will be leaving at 5:30, and please sign up on the sign-up sheet. This evening, we'll be having a missionary with us, so come prayerfully expecting that, and we'll look at his serving the Lord in Bulgaria. Coming up on April the 27th, a church-wide softball game, and the teens will have some refreshments there for sale to support their summer camp. And good news, welcome Josh and Lois's baby son, Joas Amaeus Ormsby. He arrived Thursday, weighed 8 pounds, 5 ounces, and 21 inches long. Wow. Both mommy and baby are doing great, so praise the Lord for that. And that's good news. And also we have a good missionary letter from our missionaries in India, the Werners. Be sure to read that as well. I take your song book, turn to page number 59. You may remain seated as we sing Jesus Loves Even Me, page 59. Surgery. He'll be in a cast for about 4 weeks. Take your songbook, turn to page number 57. Let's stand together and the ushers will come forward on the last verse of Amazing Grace, page number 57.
I'm
And before the message, Mr. Stacy Dyer will sing.
For being here with the house of God with us, that we might be acquainted with you and worship with you this morning. We do appreciate you being here with us. This morning we'll be in John chapter number 21. John chapter number 21. I think summer is creeping in on us quicker than we think. Normally around Memorial Day, we start running on a skeleton crew around here, but it seems like it's hit us a little bit early this year. So be careful, enjoy your summers, but be in the house of God when you can. I think the kids still, what you'll have about 25 days left of school. One of them will tell me exactly. How many days of school you have left, guys?
Like a month.
How many?
Six weeks.
6 weeks, huh? Wow, that's less than 30 days probably. It's got to be. Parents are now they're struggling, like what's going to happen? We've got all the kids home again. Be in prayer for the kids as they finish out school as well, so we can get our lives educated so that we can be used of God in whatever field He puts us in. God needs us everywhere. He does. He needs good, godly people in every profession in the world. So be in prayer for our kids as they get educated and they go on to seek God's face and what kind of careers He'd have them to get in. And pray that God will touch some of their hearts, that maybe the Lord calls them into full-time ministry, that they would surrender their lives and hearts to that. It is a blessing to know that little Joash is here and Sister Lois is doing fine. Be in prayer for them as they're at the hospital this morning getting the jaundice test this morning. So that's where they're at. John chapter 21, we're going to continue the thought of the last week was after the resurrection, and we're going to just continue that. After the resurrection, in John chapter 21, verse 1 through 14, John 21, 1 through 14. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of His disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But the morning was now come. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 5. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself unto the sea. Verse 8. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. This portion of scripture we find the disciples headed out fishing. We understand that they had left all they had to follow Jesus. This was their career path they had chosen was fishermen. And Jesus came up beside them one day early in his earthly ministry and said, Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They laid aside their nets, these men. We find seven of them here at this portion of Scripture as we read there. There's seven of them. But think with me for a moment, the agony of the crucifixion that they must have pictured and been a part of and looked at. You know, Jesus was very kind. Jesus still is kind to this day. He's gentle with us. But can you imagine day by day, even, you know, throughout the scriptures, you see the gentleness, the kindness, and the concern and compassion that Jesus carried in his earthly ministry. And so as you look at this, the agony, it must have had effect upon their mind of Jesus in the crucifixion. And then all of a sudden the joy of the resurrection. I think years ago there was an advertisement, I don't know if it was ESPN or CBS Sport, but maybe it was Olympic motto or something. The agony of defeat and what was it?
The thrill of victory.
Thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Who did that one? Wide World of Sports. Wow, see, there's knowledge everywhere. It's all around you. They didn't even have to Google that, kids. Isn't that amazing? But, you know, the earthly ministry of the Lord, and they've seen the lepers cleansed. They've seen the thousands fed, you know, twice. He fed thousands with a small amount of food. He raised dead. He caused the blind to see, the lame to walk, and so forth and so on. And healed the lady with the issue of blood. And then all of a sudden, the crucifixion. All that just laid on him. I mean, it's like, there it was. And then, afraid. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is risen from the grave. And, and we get to this point, and I've said it myself, and the thought, a good portion of the thought is going to be in this. Be careful what you do because people are going to follow. But in the midst of all that, we do find that they were still trying their very best to be obedient even here at the beginning of this scripture. If you would flip over to Matthew 28, they were given some instructions. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 and 17. Given some instructions by the Lord. The Lord said to him to go to a certain place, and this is where they're at. So in the midst of, I guess the thought there would be that in the midst of being obedient, if you're not careful, your eyes can get to going where they should not be, and you could get wound up in doing things that you should not be involved in, even though they're not bad things. 28 and verse 16, Matthew 28 verse 16, the Bible says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Okay, so the Galilee was a region, that was the Sea of Galilee. They were very familiar with this, but they were not to be at the sea. They were told to go to a mountain. Where do we find them here? They went off fishing now. They're out there. So be careful that in the midst of your obedience, you know, just like with Lot and Abraham in the Old Testament. Abraham and Lot was growing in monetary gains and servants and animals. And there was a strife that fell amongst the servants of Abraham and Lot one day. And Abraham and Lot came together and had a meeting of the minds. And Abraham said, listen, you choose the left hand or the right. I'll take the leftovers. And Lot was doing that which was obedient. Abraham gave him an option. I mean, Abraham could have said, Lot cannot handle the plains of Shinar. He cannot. So Abraham, being the eldest, he would have had the right. He could have said, I'm going here because there's no way he can handle it. So he backed up. He said, Lot, you choose. He gave way to the younger there, and Lot, sure enough, chose. And you know what happened? In the middle of obedience, found himself in a world of trouble. Set his tent first outside of Sodom and Gomorrah. Then, before you know it, he's actually moved into the city, part of the city government. And then everything goes way bad from there. But it started out in the middle of obedience. And here, they're in the region. They're there in Galilee, But God, Jesus had told him in Matthew, I want you to go to this mountain. That's where he had appointed them. But he finds them out fishing. Think about the potential of this very small group that was left here. Now we have 11 disciples. There was 12. God called them out. And Judas Iscariot has now taken the wrong path and ended up taking his own life in regret of decisions that he made. And now there's 11. And think about this for a moment. Up on that mountaintop, we always want to be on the mountaintop. God, you know, it's good things up there. The song, boy, the God of the mountaintop. Boy, we like that song, but he's the God of the valley. Can you imagine me just for a minute, the memories that may have drew them back down there to the Sea of Galilee? There's a lot of stuff that draws us away from where we should be. A lot of things. The good memories. You imagine that there was the time that Jesus said, when he came to him and said, listen, Peter, remember in the very beginning of his earthly ministry, Peter, let me borrow your boat. He shoved off out there off the sea. It may have been that same spot. You know, they're up on that mountain. They're waiting for Jesus. The agony and the crucifixion is fresh in their mind. They're fearful. And then all of a sudden, as they're sitting up there, maybe at a cup of cold water, maybe one of them got, I don't know, but they're sitting there just on the side of the hilltop, and they said, you know that very rock down there? That's the rock that we were beating the nets upon and cleaning the nets. Let's go down there and spend some time around this place. And before you know it, Peter gets down there, away from where God had told him to be, and all of a sudden this thought comes in. I'm going fishing. In the midst of being obedient, wound up, headed off, going fishing, instead of doing what the Lord had told him to do. Now in verse 3, if you go back to John, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Finally, down there around the sea, around the things that's familiar, down there around the the ships are out there tied to the stake, and they're there at the shoreline, and before long he could not resist no more. I'm telling you something different. You can't get around things that has a pull on you. You can't hang around things that are going to draw you away from God. If God has something for you to do, a place for you to be, and a place that He has told you specifically something, you've got to get there. The general region isn't enough. The zip code isn't enough. You've got to get to the address of the exact place where God had told you to be, because there's no greater protection than being in the perfect will of God. So he's out here, and you're going, and he could really, you know, no more resist. And then, you know what's amazing to me is as you read this story, you look at it, the Lord never once in this here whole passage ever rebukes Peter for actually fishing. He doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't get, you know, what in the world are you doing, Peter? I told you to get up on that mountaintop. I told you to wait there for me. And that's how we act many times as parents, isn't it? First thing we want to do is automatic rebuke. Lord, Peter, what are y'all doing? You know what's amazing, though? You know, at least they were busy doing something. Some of us get so, well, the Lord told me to get here, and I ain't going to do nothing else until I hear another word from the Lord. We got a whole Bible full of things that God's untold us to do. Get where you're supposed to be and do them. Bloom right where He's planted you. We got to get busy. We got too much to do. And so, I'm just going to wait. I'm not going to do it. And listen, God's going to use somebody to do His will. If He's asked you to do it, just get busy. Just get right at it and get busy serving God. And doing what you can for the Lord right where you're at. Don't get off wandering on memories. Memories are great, but memories are also past. We have a lot to do in the present and the future for the cause of God. Peter says, I go fishing. Guess what happened? We also go with thee. The impact our lives has on others. the very impact. These other men was there waiting, and they're doing right. Peter, weren't you? I'm going fishing. And all of a sudden, immediately, I'm going fishing too. Then all of a sudden, you now have one, you have seven that's going fishing, not doing what the Lord has asked them to do. Look over in Hebrews chapter number 10. I'm going to tell you something different. Somebody is following you. Hebrews chapter number 10. Somebody has their eyes on you. And I'm going to tell you something. With our influence comes great responsibility. With our influence that we have over others comes great responsibility. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 24. This is what it says. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love. What does it say? And to good works. And you know this amazing thing? It's right before the verse that says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. How many of you would agree with me that witnessing and inviting people to the house of God, inviting people to Christ, is a very good thing to do? It's biblical, right? What happens when you do what's right, you invite folks to church, you spend time sharing your testimony with somebody, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God moves and prompts upon them to come to the house of God, and you miss and you're not here. And they see you at work the next day. Well, where were we? Oh, well, you know, I had things to do. Your influence over the lives of others comes with great responsibility. Great responsibility. Look over in Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. Well, they're not just doing it like we're doing it. They're not involved with it like we are, so they shouldn't be doing it. The disciples had that same thought. Luke 9:50, and Jesus said to them, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. You understand something? Not everybody's going to worship like you do. We're to worship in spirit and in truth. And our responsibility, you know, the Bible says provoke. Well, we're good at it. How many of you got, if you've got more than, if you've been around kids at all, you've been around a 2, 3, 4 year old, well, they're good at provoking the other ones, aren't they? They're real good at it. That's not what the Bible's talking about, not provoking to do wrong. It's to provoke them to, how in the world am I going to go nod at Brother James and poke at him? No, you know what that's called? That's called like a dripping faucet. That's called like a nagging. That's called like, you know, just poking and poking and poking. That's not what God's talking about. How are you going to provoke them to love and to good works? Because you're going to be involved in love and good works. Jesus began to both do and teach. Acts chapter 1, verse number 1. How many of you heard this growing up in your lifetime? Don't do as I'm doing. You do what I tell you to do. That goes over real well, don't it? That goes over real well, doesn't it? No, it doesn't go over real well. Look in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter number 14, verse 7. Romans chapter 14, verse 7. The scripture says here in Romans chapter 14, verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord of both of the dead and the living. Our influence, our provocation, our guiding, our leading should always move people toward Christ. Everything we do, everything we're involved in should be moving people toward Christ. We're not to be an anchor. We're not to be a dead weight. We're to provoke them, help them to press toward. We're not to be a stumbling block. We're not to trip people up in their walk with the Lord. We're not to hinder their work. We're to provoke them unto love and to good works. Why? So that they might get people themselves in their realm of influence closer to Christ. Because everybody is watching somebody. They're going fishing. Ask yourself this, if everybody was the Christian that I am, how good of Christians will we all be? Go back to John. John 21. So verse 3, they go fishing. Peter takes some with him. You go in your own power, your own might, your own struggles. And this is exactly what you'll find. Verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, I go fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth, entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. These are professional fishermen here. Brother Johnson, this is like Bill Dance of the Bible days. Peter and James, John's sons of Zebedee, this was their livelihood. You think they didn't know the Sea of Galilee? You think they'd never been on there, didn't have them little honey spots? I had a friend over in Louisiana, out on Lake Anacoco as we were there. He could take you and by a stump that was over this way, he could look back this way and tell you 100 yards is a honey spot right there. He'd head to that stump, he would get his eyes fixed on it, he'd turn his head, then he'd turn the boat. He'd look back, he'd anchor down, and we'd catch crappie all day long, right there. How? Because he knew the lake. He knew exactly where. Let me tell you something, there were cypress stumps and numps and knees all over the place, but he could see that one. These were professional fishermen who had spent, you know what this is like? This is like the farmer who goes out there and sows and sows and sows and sows and sows and sows and sows, but never reaps. Never reaps. It's like the salesman that comes up to you and tries to sell you something, and their living's based upon commission, and they sell. This is their job, you know. They've made a living as salesmen, but then all of a sudden they can't sell nothing. Like a doctor who comes and he administers medicine and he does surgeries and nobody gets well. And now this is a professional fisherman. What's the difference here? He's outside the will of God. He's doing things his own way. He's doing things what they want to do. He's living outside of God's plan for his life. God had a place to get up there up on that mountain as I've appointed you back over in Matthew 28, 16, 17. And I'll be there to talk to you. When they finally get done fishing and get back to where they're supposed to be, what happens? Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've told you. And guess what happened? Thousands saved, churches planted. Because they did it God's way. I mean, can you imagine the frustrating night it must have been? Have you been there? Outside the will of God, just toiling, 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 toiling. And then you done got seven other ones toiling with you. Can you imagine, women, for a minute, as you keep toiling and fishing and throwing the net, they're toiling, they're fishing, they're throwing the net, nothing's happening. Unless the Lord build a house, we labor in vain. And they toil and they toil and they toil. Listen, I'm telling you, sometimes as God's people, we are spending too much energy too much energy in places that we do not need to spend energy at. We need to be busy with the plain thoughts of God. And that is seeing folks saved and bought to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might call out to Him as Abba Father and trust Him and as personal Savior. What did it say there in Romans 14:7? That He might be both Lord of the dead and the living. Lost people have a Lord. They have not a Savior. And that's who we need to bring to them, the Savior. I mean, man, it was frustrating. All their labor was in vain. I mean, just in vain. Imagine with me over the years, as men of God have pastored and they've preached and they've taken the Word of God and they've presented the Word of God and church members have prayed throughout churches, and now, every month, about 3,000 churches are closing. Just shut the doors and being done with. Because it's labored in vain, because it's done in the power of men and not by God. I mean, what frustration. Look at verse 4. Matthew, John 21, verse 4. All of this is after the resurrection. Verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Wait a minute, this is the third time at the resurrection. That's what the Scripture said. Look at verse 14. Now, this is now the third time. Okay, the first time he was a gardener. Second time, is that a spirit? Who is this? Third time. Second time, they knew. They knew exactly. Third time, now they didn't know who this was. Well, Pastor, because it was, they were way out in the middle of the Galilee. They were way out there. And so, you know, it was dark too. It was getting bright early in the morning. You know, that sun may have been coming up. No, that ain't what it said, is it? Let's see how far they were out there. Let's see what the Bible says. Let's see. Back up there, it says they weren't far off. Verse 8. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it was 200 cubits. They wasn't far off. Still didn't recognize who it was. But you notice Christ, the day spring, then comes the morning. Look over in Luke chapter number 1. Hold your place there. We're going to come right back there. But look in Luke chapter 1 verse 78. Luke chapter 1 verse number 78. The Bible says, through the tender mercies of our God, listen to what it says, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Verse 4, Christ came in the morning. Aren't you glad that when you do get out there toiling and fishing and slinging nets, working and laboring in vain and trying to do everything by your own power, the Lord just patiently waits. And then when the darkness of night begins to dissipate because the sun rises, that day spring, because Christ, the morning star, because when Jesus appears, He brings forth that light upon the situation, and He comes and it just comes up, and then all of a sudden, here comes morning. Back into our lives, when them heartaches, those pains, those difficulties, those tearful moments, when we feel all alone, then we come back and we hear the sweet voice of Jesus, and then the light of Jesus begins to shine. Notice the question in verse 5. Notice this question. You think Jesus didn't know this? Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat?
You notice the words.
He didn't say moron. Hey, you bunch of idiots out there. Hey, you bunch of backsliders. You no good, ungodly hypocrites. You whited sepulchers, he said. Hey, children. Children. What compassion. You know, the Bible says the goodness of God brings a man to repentance. Children. Notice, I mean, just a question. I am amazed when I look at the Bible. When I see the Bible, I look at it and it's written for our encouragement, our comfort. I've been out there fishing. Brother Paul, I've taken others out there fishing with me. I've led people astray, but then the sweet, tender voice of God, Brother Ray, comes up and he says, child. Isn't it amazing that Jesus knows our name? The devil knows our name, and what does he call us by? Our sins. You're a drunk, you hypocrite, you whoremonger, you gossip. You're good for nothing. Jesus says, hey children. Look over in 1 John. My little children. No, you don't have to turn there. I'm not going there. But go over and look for it. It's only 5 chapters. I challenge you this evening when you get home to read those 5 chapters and circle every time it says, my little children. My little children. Why do you think he says children? Because as children desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, thereby they what? Grow. Grow. Then I just, have you any meat? No. Isn't it so good just to own it? You know what most of us is? What I do, Well, if you'd give me a better son, Lord, I'd have some good meat in the boat. Lord, if I'd just had a better opportunity, what you mean? You were fishermen my trade, Peter. I let you fish for the majority of your life. What you mean if you had better opportunities? This week, well, you know, Lord, the bait just wasn't right. Brother James said, well, the wind wasn't blowing in the right direction. What did the disciples do? They just owned it. That simple, no. No. I'm wrong. It's my fault. I have caused this. I have chosen this route. I made this decision. What do we want to say? Well, if God loved me, I wouldn't be in this fix. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
You have any meat? No. No. I mean, what concern? Have ye me? You know what he could have said? Just what he could have said. Why are you out there fishing? Didn't I tell you to be up on that mountain? Have you? You think he didn't know they were tired in their sin? It gets tired being backslidden. It's a tiresome life. You know the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. You know what he says in Hebrews? Lay aside every weight and sin. It does so easily beset you. No, why? Because this here, carrying the weight of sin around and the cares of this world around, it gets tiresome. What a burden. What a burden. He understood. He said, do you have any meat? No. Oh, no. No, Lord. Verse 6. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. And ye shall find. And they cast it therefore. And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Simple instructions. Simple instruction. You know, the Bible is, it is deep, Brother Jim. It is so deep. I mean, we can't even know the mind of God sometimes. We ponder it, we read it, you study it. But then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God illuminates passages and brings them to light. And we have that unction from on high, and then we begin to understand the simple instructions of God. Why do we try to make it so hard? Well, I'm just not understanding that yet, but the stuff we do understand, we need to be busy doing. You know what we do? Well, I don't understand the entire 66 books. I'm just not going to get involved. I'm not going to do it, and I'm not going to follow it. And we toil all night. And we struggle. And we struggle. And we struggle. Cast thy net on the right side. And they did. What a miraculous, miraculous catch. I mean, drew the multitude of fishes. I mean, it was just a great catch. Verse 7. Listen to the good example. This is how quick you notice that they got their hearts right with God. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved, this is John, the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. He recognized it. You know when you know you get your heart right? You start recognizing who's Lord, who's boss, who's in charge. You know how else you know you got your heart right with God? You get to Him quickly. What did Peter do? Let's read on verse 7. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, wait a minute, he heard that it was the Lord. He just heard. He took John's testimony at heart because he had confidence in John, his co-worker. John said, it is the Lord. When he heard it was the Lord, guess what he did? He girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. He got himself quickly to Jesus. You know what we do sometimes? I tell you. The Lord pricks our heart, brings us to an understanding of where we are and what we should be, and we hem and haw and hem and haw, and we try to work deals with God. God, if you'll just give you, well, if I'll put this fleece out, Lord, if you want to wet this here fleece, I'll do it. He's done showed you. He's done give us instructions. Get busy, get to Him quickly, run to Him. Run to Him. Verse 8, because just like in the beginning when you influenced them to go fishing, now what has Peter did to them? And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. He influenced them right back to Jesus. So I'm telling you, if you've been leading the blind away from God, maybe you need to make a U-turn. Maybe there's seven other disciples waiting for you to get right with God, and get your heart right with God, and get back to where you should be with God. Let's read on. But we're almost done. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time going through all this. We just want to look at each verse a little bit. Just a little bit. They were dragging the net with fishes. That means they've had to put some labor into it. You know, sometimes the work of God does all the work, but sometimes you've got to put some effort to it. Brother Bill, I just, when the Lord moves that mountain, I'm going to move it. Hey, what? When the Lord moves that mountain, I'm going to move it. What? The Lord done told them cast over it. They got the fish. They drug them out. Sometimes you just got to get busy. Get yourselves up and get busy. He did say, occupy till I come, did he not? Verse 9, let's move on because I don't want to labor there too long. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there. Wait a minute. You can't see the fire far off? They had to get land to see it. Yeah, that's what sin does to you, doesn't it? You can't see. And listen what it says. And fish laid thereon and bread. Okay? Let's get the picture. They're coming. Peter's not casting himself in the sea. They're in their little boat. And they're rowing. I don't know if it was a paddle boat, what it was. But they're rowing. Boy, they get there as fast as can, dragging these fish. They get there. Wow, there's a fire. There's coals. There's fish. There's bread. Look what Jesus does. Verse 10. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Huh. What for? He's already cooked it up. Because he expects fruit. He expects fruit. John 16. You shall bear much fruit. Jesus is the fish, the great fisherman of the world. I mean, he is the great physician, the healer, the I am, the all of that. Jesus can do and will do and has done and proven himself. He wants you to get involved. Bring your fishes now. Well, that's kind of selfish. Jesus done cooked them up. I'm just reading. Jesus said to them, bring of the fishes which ye have now caught. Listen what Simon did. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. 150. You think he just looked out there, Brother Victor? Huh. 153 fish lay right there. He took time to count and take an inventory of what God had done in his life. Quit looking at the big full thing of fish. Count your blessings one by one and see what God hath done. Sometimes we can't see the forest because of the trees. Jesus said, listen, bring of the fish that you caught. Well, you'd think immediately he'd just go over and grab a handful of fish. He had to take time to count the fish up. And for all there were so many, listen to what it says, yet was not the net broken. You know in their mind? If we'd have caught these many before, our nets would have fell apart. Why? Because it had been in their power, in their might, in their strength. They had done caught big. This statement here is showing us that they had, in the past, years gone by, they had caught big, great catches, and the net broke loose and got loose. They said, man, the net should break. And listen to what Jesus says. Come and die. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Isn't it amazing when you get next to God and you get really close to him, you know him as God? Out there. Oh, who is that? Remember walking on the sea? Peter's out there and the other disciples and the storm's coming up. Is it a spirit? Lord, if it be thee, if it is thee, bid me to come. When he got closer. What happened here when they got closer? There's no question. I'm going to tell you something. If you get close to God, there's no question in your heart and mind that he is God. No question. Verses 9 through 14, you see him feasting with Jesus. Can you imagine the fellowship they must have enjoyed right there? When somebody, listen, just let me help you out just a moment. When somebody's done wrong and they know it and they get right and get back to them, you don't have to keep bringing it up every other minute or every other week or every other day. If they've said they're sorry and they're done, let it be gone. Jesus didn't bring it up again, did he? Matter of fact, he goes on and he begins to teach Peter. I'm not going to go there, but he begins to teach Peter. You love me, Peter. More than these. That's what he went on to do. Wow. Let's stand our feet. After the resurrection. Your influence. If you've led people away, come back to God. Let them come back with you. You stay out there, and dear friend, it's just harder and harder for them. Well, they ought to do what they're going to do by themselves. Every man shall give an account of himself, what he's done in this body, whether good or bad. Every one of us should. I should serve God for myself and what he's done for me. But I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. If I get my eyes fixed wrong, I can cause myself a big heartache, and I'll follow you right off out there.